You are listening to episode 16 of the Drunk Sex Podcast.
Welcome to Drunk Sex. Whatever you're into, we've got you covered. So crack open your favorite beverage and join your host, Jen Wodke, for the Drunk Sex Podcast.
Hey everyone, hope you had a great Christmas and a good New Year. Probably a lot of you are back at work today, as am I. So let's get into some good sex stuff. All right. Today, I wanted to talk about some of the impediments that I've come across as I've studied sexuality and expanded my tools and techniques and challenged my beliefs. And I wanted to share this with you because I really do want to encourage you to expand and study about your own sexuality as well. I think when we open our minds to new types of sexual expression, to new materials, to new thoughts and ideas, it really can expand our capacity to pleasure ourselves, to pleasure our partners. And I think it just makes the world a nice, happy place if we have space in our mind for different ways of being sexually without judging each other. However, there, I think, sometimes are barriers, I guess, for lack of a better word, or off-putting instances that can happen when you are studying sexuality, be it from a book or an online course or a video or what have you. And I wanted to share some of my experiences around that with you and offer some suggestions for where to start if you're just looking into expanding your sexual knowledge and tools and repertoire, and how to avoid some of the pitfalls I've come across. One of the things that has come up time and time again in some of the courses and teachings from various sex coaches is this idea that if you have any sort of reproductive issue, be it, you know, cysts or growths or endometriosis, so often what these gurus and sex coaches are telling us is that that is a result of you, you know, having experienced sexual trauma at some point in your life, or you're sexually blocked or you're sexually repressed. And I call bullshit on that. I certainly believe that there is a mind-body connection that is very real. But this idea that somehow this medical condition is somehow your own fault, that's what feels very problematic. Is it true for some people that they have growths and cysts and whatever because they're blocked and have had trauma? I'm sure that that is true for some people. Is it also true that for others that is not the case? Yeah, fuck yeah. There are 6 billion people in the world. I mean, we don't all manifest our traumas and our issues in the same way. And to completely disregard a medical condition because something happened to you when you were younger is bullshit. In hindsight, looking back, I first started having issues with endometriosis when I was 12. Let me tell you, I was not sexually fucking blocked at 12. I was not repressed. I was not abused. I had a medical condition that started at age 12, and every single time I take a course to try to learn about more pleasure and new ways to be sexually, this always comes up, and it drives me bonkers because it really shits on people's actual legitimate pain that is a real thing. And to tell them that, oh, it's in your mind, you're blocked, it's just... it feels really gross, and I honestly think that it is a shame-based marketing technique, because if somebody is telling you that, you know, your sexual issues are all your own fault, and if you pay them, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars, they can help you clear those blocks and fix it, and then you won't have that medical condition anymore. It's just, it's unethical. Is it true for some people? Yes, but it's not blanket true for everybody, and it's just frustrating to hear this over and over and over again. So what does this mean if you come across this when you are looking to, you know, study sexuality or whatever you're doing? I think the biggest takeaway is that you have to cherry pick a little bit. There's no sex guru or coach or therapist out there that's going to fit your beliefs exactly perfectly. So I don't let these people try to tell me that I am sexually blocked or repressed and I started to have that at age 12. It's fucking bullshit. It's not true. So hold on to what you know is right and correct for you, and toss aside anything that just doesn't fit at all. I mean, cherry pick. There's 6 billion of us. Well, we all have a slightly different sexuality, and no one's philosophy is going to be exactly perfect for you. You got to take what works and run with it. Toss the rest. Also, my God, this one drives me bonkers. You want to run away from any sexuality professional who seems to really have a vested interest in explaining to you how great they are and how evolved they are. And I have a couple of personal anecdotes from this. I'm not going to share the name of the coach, but she's quite well known, has a great following. I went to an in-person workshop from her years and years ago, and she was talking about loving cock and blah, 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 all great. And she put so much loving attention on this man's cock, who was shy and repressed and, you know, didn't have a lot of self-confidence. So she, you know, comes in and she just loves his cock and loves him. And all of a sudden his erections are like, can't remember the number, something like 2 inches bigger than they were before her. And it's like, what the fuck is the point? Like, it's just, we can just magically change our genitals if we love them properly enough. I'm skeptical. I'm very skeptical. Again, does this work for some people? Maybe. But the point of her story really seemed to illustrate how wonderful she was. It didn't seem helpful to the audience at all. Oh, this was a great workshop with her. There were so many stories. The second was, there was this couple, and we were talking about blowjobs and deep throating, and this coach believes that deep throating is the way to female fulfillment and really showing how vulnerable you are willing to be with your partner and trust and opening it up and really pleasuring your man, all that kind of stuff. And this woman's like, oh, like I just... you know, I love giving head, but I just can't, like, I can't do it to that extent, like opening your throat and allowing essentially her airway to be blocked. Like, we're talking Olympic level deep throating, and that you can only breathe when your partner pulls his dick out. Like, that is absolutely a deep level of trust. And this woman was going, I just can't go there. Like, I just, doesn't have anything to do with trusting my partner. It's just this innate fear of not being able to breathe, and I can't get past it, but I love going down on him, not deep throating, but I do love going down on him. And the coach was all like, well, you know, maybe you just really need to try harder, and you should be able to make yourself that vulnerable to your partner that her air supply is cut off by his dick. Like, why are we telling people that they should just push through their legit fears? It's not like this woman hated her partner's dick and refused to go down on him. She just didn't want her air supply cut off, which is a pretty valid fear. And yet she was shamed for it. And again, this coach is like, I deep throat all the time and it's amazing. And I have, like, you know, wonderful skin and I'm so skinny without trying and blah, 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 blah. And it's like, you just shamed this woman. Not helpful. And actually I was going to catch that couple on the way out. We happen to have walked out together. And I was going to say, you know, fuck that bullshit. If you can't deep throat or don't want to deep throat, that is legit. And I didn't say that. And I regret that I didn't take the opportunity to sort of counteract some of this damaging shame-based learning we were being subjected to. So I hope that couple sorted out their blowjob issues and their relationship issues. In a similar vein, this is the same coach. I wound up at a different event with her. She was a speaker. I wound up sharing a room with her and another woman who had organized the conference, and it was a swingers event. And in the privacy of our hotel room, granted, we were, you know, having drinks and shooting the shit, and there was, you know, a few people kind of having drinks with us. And she says, oh, I think swinging, like, it's really gross. And I was like, oh, like, you're at a swingers event, speaking, getting paid, I think, but you've think it's gross? What's that about? And she's like, oh, I just think it's gross that you come into a room with your partner and you ditch each other at the door and then you go find someone to fuck. Like, that's just not loving, and that it's just bad energy and blah, 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 blah. And I just shrugged and went, okay, like, you're like, I get that. I get the viewpoint. I disagree, but okay. I can see how that would be off-putting and not a fit for a lot of people. That's totally cool. But what does she do? She comes to the party. We all went to a like a big event, dance party, whatever, that was just the swingers group. So, you know, it was a safe, closed environment where you weren't going to inadvertently hit on somebody that you shouldn't. She walks into the room, immediately finds somebody that's married, is there with her. He was there with his partner. She takes him back to her hotel room and sleeps with him. Again, in and of itself, fine. But, you know, I said to my friend, I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, she just said how gross we all were for swinging. And then she went around and did the same thing. And I was like, why is it different when she does it? And this friend, who was a big fan of this sex coach, goes, oh, well, she, like, she's single right now. And, you know, she has to have sex. Like, you know, she can't function if she's not, you know, having good, deep, connected sex. And I'm like, that's what all of us are doing. Like, why is it different when she does it? So really do your homework on these coaches. If you're considering hiring a coach, or looking at any, you know, YouTubers or authors who are doing work around sexuality, before you purchase anything big, check out their videos, check out their philosophy, and be really careful about, you know, fake gurus whose work seems to center largely around making you feel like shit so they can charge you money to make you feel better, and whose work seems to put them in a special magical unicorn category where they're, you know, so much more evolved and their sex is so much more evolved than yours. It's bullshit. And again, it seems to me that it is designed to part you from your money. Second part of that homework is really look at who the course is being marketed to. I've wound up in a few courses that, you know, were kind of geared toward couples, but, you know, also that singles were welcome and the work was really deep and singles could also benefit. And more often than not, it kind of wasn't true. So just, again, do your homework. Make sure that you're going to get out of it what you want to get out of it. And if you're spending money on online courses, that can be hundreds and thousands of dollars. So really just do your homework and make sure that you're going to get what you want out of it and that they have a refund policy that you can bail in the first week or whatever if the course isn't what you expect. So where do you start? If you want to kind of up your sex game and you don't want to spend hundreds or thousands of dollars on a course, where do you start? Where can you go? Well, first thing I'd suggest is check out your local sex shop. In some bigger cities, a lot of the sex shops might have workshops or informative seminars, and they often have very knowledgeable staff that can, you know, help you if you're just walking in and looking for a toy or you want advice on something specific. They can often really help you. So that's a really great way if you're comfortable going in person. I know that some of you aren't comfortable going to the shops in person. I do encourage you to leave your hangups with that at the door. Nobody cares if you're in a sex shop. The people in a sex shop are shopping along with you, and the staff are usually really quite friendly and welcoming and are not going to judge you remotely, no matter what questions you ask. So super free option. Second, books. Good Lord, I could write a huge, long reading list. There's tons of great stuff out there. And a lot of them, again, you can just grab for free at the library, either hard copies or if you have a device. I take out free library books on my device all the time. And there is a decent selection of sexuality books to be had at your public library. So that's another really easy and cheap way to get started. A few of my favorites, Sex at Dawn is a great book about non-monogamy. There's the bottoming. I think there's a bottoming book and a topping book by Janet Harding and Dossie Easton. They've done a lot of really great kinky books. Oh, they also did The Ethical Slut, which is another well-known and kind of a bit of a Bible for people that are looking into possibly exploring ethical non-monogamy. Sex Outside the Lines by Chris Donahue. Probably going to be a little bit out there for some people, but it really does a great job of looking at our gender roles and our beauty standards and how that impact our personal sexualities and can really limit how we interact with each other sexually. So it's a really great read. Ian Kerner's done a lot of great stuff, oral sex based. Mostly, I think he did The Thinking Man's Guide to Pleasuring a Woman, and he also did She Comes First. So he's done a lot of really great work. And Emily, I'm going to mess up her name, Nagoski, did a fantastic book, Come As You Are. It's sort of geared to female sexuality, but there's a lot of great information for men, well, anybody, men, women, heterosexual couples, homosexual couples, transgender. It's discusses the a sexuality model about basically we all have breaks and a gas and how that impacts our lives and how it works together if you and your partner have different breaks and different gas. And super easy read and highly, highly recommended. Online, there are a ton of free resources that you can get from people who offer paid courses. I would strongly suggest before you pay for anything, go look at their free content. Any sex coach or sex educator worth their grain of salt will have some free stuff that you can check out and see, you know, if they're a fit for you, and they have a lot of great information. Some of my favorites, Leitha Martin does some really great stuff. She does a Jade Egg course, and she does a course called O-Bliss, which is for women and how to learn to feel more pleasure. Lene St. John, the Mama Sutra, she has done a lot of great work for parents. Charlie Glickman, he's the anal sex guru. Beducated and Kikli are great sites that you can sign up for their mailing list, and they have a lot of great informative articles that they'll email to you, which I believe you can also find them on their site. I will put a bunch of links in the show notes so you can look up some of the names and books and things that I've recommended. And yeah, get out there. Start studying. Expand your horizons. Our sexuality is ever growing and ever evolving. And especially if you're partnered, it's so easy to get in a rut and, you know, stick to the same sexual routine and patterns. And that's where a lot of people, I think, lose their spark and get stuck in a rut. So explore, read a book together, go to a sexy movie together, go check out a swingers event, go to a kink event. A lot of bigger cities will have kink events as well where you don't have to participate. That's the thing too, to keep in mind, if you're going to check out a swingers club or a kink club or a sex club or whatever, there's absolutely no pressure to join in. So you can go and check out the vibe and soak up the sexual energy, and you're not obligated to do anything you don't want to do. And most of them are very reasonably priced. So the more you expand your sexual knowledge and repertoire, the better your pleasure, the better your sex life. So yeah, pick up a book. Keep listening to this podcast. I do love to hear from you. So I'm curious if you have any stories to share about your own sexual exploration and courses and learning that you may have done or are thinking of doing, and tell me how it's going. And if you have any questions, always happy to answer those. Shoot me an email, jen@jenwadke.com. You can also send me a private message on Instagram. Don't send me any fucking dick pics on Instagram because you'll get blocked. Thanks for listening, and make sure to take a moment to like, rate, and review so that this podcast can keep growing and getting better. Thanks for listening, and I will catch you next time.
This has been the Drunk Sex Podcast with Jen Wadke. For more sex talk, head over to the Jen Wadke Facebook group or check out jenwadke.com. Till next time, happy boozing and sexing.